Thank you for that. In that you should be an announcer. So grateful just to be with you guys, and it's always an honor to be asked somewhere to share what the Lord's been birthing in us and on our hearts. And I'm grateful that so far Manning has been a place for us to be able to be an outflow of that. And we're so grateful for Pastor Corey and Pastor Terrell for that, being that for us. And it's an honor. Truly it is. And something that's been really stirring on my heart is the reality that we were created for perfect union with the Father, for the perfect actually union with what we would call the Godhead. And his greatest desire is that we would be a people that would be with him. That is actually the reason for which we were designed and created, was to have perfect union with the Father. And so in the garden, when he created man, he created us in every single aspect. So every single, our senses and our ability to hold something that's eternal, he created us to have perfect relationship in union with him. That's our design. That's what we've been designed for, was to be with him. And his the greatest thing that he designed us for was just to go on a walk. It says in the cool morning of the day, he would show up to go on a walk with Adam. He's like, come on a walk with me. That was our design. And I find that sometimes we're so easily to run. And we receive something that he's like, yeah, I gave it to you, but it's for closer relationship. It's to continue to walk in relationship, in union with me. You see it in the Great Commission. He says, let's actually go there. I'll actually get to my notes and stuff. Something I noticed in the Great Commission, when Jesus was given the Great Commission, it says that he pulled his disciples close. It said that he pulled them in. He's like, hey guys, I pull you in. And he says, this is what I've commanded you. It's Matthew 28, if you guys want to go there. It says, all authority has been given to me. So some translations actually said, he pulled them close. He pulled them into himself. And if you understand Jesus, is that he had his like 72. He had all of those, lot of disciples. He had the 72, but he also had his inner circle, which is the 12. And then he even had the inner circle, which was even a 3. But it's really significant, because he calls them and he says, I'm going to give you this commission. I'm commissioning you guys. And he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. And I just want to skip to the verse 20, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, it says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So his desire was, I'm going to give you this commission. But don't just run and just do it on your own, but do it. I want to do it with you. I'm going to start reading from my notes. It is time to realign our gaze back upon the Son, whom we have been destined to become. Romans 8:29 says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son." You know, sometimes we can allow our eyes and our gaze to wander upon other things. And I think we can be led down paths of maybe wrong thinking and wrong theology and all those different things. But when you behold his gaze, all those come into subject to the gaze. I believe that what God's doing in this time is realigning the gaze of his children, of his church. Because again, as I said before, his whole desire and design is for us to be with him and to behold him. You can read in Leviticus, in the midst of giving the law, God says something so profound. In the midst of giving law, he says this statement where it says, "However, I would rather just be with my people." And you can see through the history of the Old Testament, it was like God's heart was just to be again with his people. He said, "I want to be like it was in the garden." To have that withness with God, to have that relationship. And the thing is, we'll never actually, I believe, experience the fullness of our design until we come in with the witness of the Creator who designed us. That's where fullness comes from. It even says in Romans that within our innermost being, the Father is declaring you and calling you his beloved child. That's within your innermost. That's who you are. That's who you're called to be. You're meant to be with him in union with this what we call the circle dance of the Godhead. You know, the things he does with us is amazing. If you are with God and he says, "I want you to run the Manning Church," that's amazing. If you are with God and you're sent to South Africa, like our friend Chris, like that's amazing because it's with him. Because if we can solidify our understanding of the truth of our identity within our innermost being, that we are sons and daughters, we are beloved sons and daughters, and that is where our fulfillment is coming from. It's not by what we do that defines us. It's not by our gifts that even define us. It's the definition of what God declares us as sons and daughters. So what he does with you is a byproduct of that. I remember there's this book by Sean Bolz. It's called The Throne Room Company. And he tells this, it's this big encounter with the Lord that he had. And he was taken up into the throne room of God. And the God had given him grace kind of to see who was around the throne room. And so he was going and he was like, "I wonder who had this big ministry and who had this big ministry and this big ministry." And so he saw all of these people. But all of a sudden his gaze came upon this woman. And this woman was the closest person to Jesus. She actually was holding his hand and keeping his gaze. And the Lord began to reveal to him who this woman was. Now, this woman didn't have a great ministry. This woman didn't go out into the world and be great evangelists and all these things, which is amazing and we need and you should do. This woman was a stay-at-home mom. This woman raised her children, but this woman postured her life with the gaze of Jesus. She spent her life praying and worshiping and just grabbing a hold of his gaze. And she was the closest one to him. God's greatest desire is to be with his people. When he created us, this was his primary focus for our design, was to have perfect union with the Father. When we become a people who host him. Now, I find a lot of places, a lot of churches, we've been so consumed by programs. And programs are not wrong. I don't. When programs are birthed out of his presence, they are fully right every single time. But the thing is, we can let the thing for which began in the place of presence and surrender become the thing for which we are now defined by. We will always miss the mark. And so I believe we're coming into a season where we just begin to host him. We come back to that gaze that, man, we're coming just to worship him. He becomes the centrality of every single thing that we do. You know, the reality is we can become creature of habit, and we become defined by what we do by our environment. It's, you can read up into epigenetics if you want to, but we won't go there. But I think we've been doing the same thing for so long, we lost the gaze within the things that we've become doing. And it's just become a work of just trying and just thinking that things will change. But I believe we're coming back. And it, again, a lot of those things I agree with. But the moment we lose the gaze within those things, we miss the very purpose for which he gave them to us in the first place. It's like I often think of Abraham and Isaac. You know, God told them to bring Isaac up into the mountain and sacrifice. What would happen if Abraham chose to stop listening? The reality is that I believe that Abraham postured himself to continue to listen. And I think this is probably most likely the case, because if you were told to bring your son up to the mountain and sacrifice him, I would be like, one step, are you sure? are you sure? Was that truly? Are you that would just be probably my parental instinct. But the thing is that he continued to posture himself to hear, for when the moment he was about to sacrifice, the Lord says, hey, hold on. We're going to do it a better way. I have also seen so much in my life where the Lord will give us a word, Lord will give us a direction. And I'm like, yes, Lord. And he's like, hello. I gave that for you to do it with me. And we sometimes wonder why we've gotten a little off track. It's because we've stopped posturing ourselves in the place for which we receive that very word. And the posture that we posture ourselves to receive the word is what's going to sustain that word. I keep talking in about the mindset of promise. You know, when they were in the wilderness and it was the ten spies that came back, and it was the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, that came back with the right promise mindset, for which qualified them to enter into the promise, and not only enter them into the promise, but enter in the next generation. So you notice in that story, they actually, a whole generation had to die off before they can enter into the promised land. Because God was like, the influence of the old mindset has to go away. And these men are going to lead the new generation into the mindset of promise that's actually going to get us into promise. And so what you do, because when they come back, they said, yes, there's giants. Yes, there's strongholds. Yes, there's all these things, but with God. Again, with God. God, we will have the victory. He says that with God, the giants will become our bread. They will become our provision. Like, God will give it to us. And what you notice is that the mindset that got them into promise is what sustained them in the promise. So you see what Joshua is met with. He's met when he walks up to the walls of Jericho. You know, I often think of that story, and if I was the leader of an army, I'd be walking up to those walls to come up with a way that we could breach those walls. It's like, okay, what can we do? How can we break down these walls? And these walls were fairly impenetrable. But we notice where the key of victory came from when Joshua walked up to the wall and there's the angel of the Lord's army. And what did Joshua do? He postured himself in the same way, in the same mindset to say, what he said when he got into the promise, it was with God, we will have the victory. So he postured himself again to hear. And when he postured himself, because he took off his sandals and he says, this is holy ground. And then he was given a ridiculous task, but was victory. It's like, hey, you're going to walk around this wall, it seems, but with God. With God, these giants will become our bread. With God, these strongholds will crumble. This amazing thing happens when we discover the truth of who the Father is. Because when we discover the truth of who the Father is, we actually become the living expression of the reality of that truth. That's why the witness is God is so significant. You know, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Or who do they say I am? They say, some say this, some say that, some do this. And then he looks them in the eyes and say, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the very Son of God. And it's, Jesus' response is interesting. He says, this was not given to you by anyone else but by the Father. This is interesting to me because how often do we hold a perspective of who the Father is based upon our own interpretation of who the Father is, or our own theological doctrine of who we think the Father is, instead of the Father who wants to reveal himself to you? The Father wants to reveal the truth of who he is to you. And the beautiful thing that happens when he reveals the truth of who he is to you, he reveals the truth of who you are in him. And then you become an expression of that reality. Another way of saying is whatever you behold, you become. When you learn to come back into that union with him, you discover the truth of who he is. And when you discover the true truth of who the Father is, you become that which you behold. It says, as he is, so are we in this world. I really learned kind of the pillars of my life and the principles I live by. It's encounter, discover, and become. When you posture yourself in a place to encounter the truth of who he is and you discover the reality of that, you then enter into a place of becoming that which you just discovered and encountered. He wants relationship. He's honestly, he so simply just wants to go on a walk with you. That's the greatest thing that we could ever do in our life, is to show up for the walk. Do you know, even though Adam and Eve sinned, God still showed up for the walk? He's like, hey, Adam, where are you? Let's walk this out together. It's time to come back into your rightful place and your rightful design. The thing is, when sin entered, the sin nature, what happened was we tried to gratify and find fulfillment through other means for which we were actually created and designed for. So we became aware of this good and this evil. We became aware of self. I truly believe that before then, they were only aware of the person who is good, which is God. They had no other awareness, I would say, until they ate of the tree of good and evil. And all of a sudden, this feeling of this whole different feelings came upon them. And all of a sudden, their senses got influenced by other things. So then they began to try to gratify and find fulfillment and satisfaction in the thing that is not actually part of their true design. And so we go through the gospel and we say, Jesus has come to bring us back into the fullness of the truth of our design. In that place, you will find fullness where nothing else can satisfy. Nothing else can gratify. Nothing of this world is sufficient. We could build the biggest business on the planet. It will never be sufficient until we come into the subjection of what we've been designed for. We come back into the union with the Father for which our design is. When we discover that, I truly believe we'll begin to see the fulfillment of the manifestations of the sons of God or daughters of God upon the earth that all creation is eagerly waiting for. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus says, now you are the light of the world. And what's amazing about that is that word light actually means the light that comes off the source, which is fire. This revelation led me down a little bit of a path where I was like, what is the fire? What is the fire we're meant to become? Jesus said, I did not come to baptize with water, but with fire. And so the Lord began to reveal me through scripture stories of where the fire fell. So one of the stories is with after law has been given, they had just, Moses and Aaron had just finished setting everything up and they had set the sacrifice, and all of a sudden the fire of God shot out of the temple, I believe, and consumed everything. And it says that everybody fell on their face before the Lord. And then in another time you see the fire of God is when Elijah was on Mount Carmel. And they're, we can say a battle, but they're trying to prove whose God was the true God. And how did God show up? In fire. And so what that really showed me is that the fire actually revealed the one true God. So what does that mean if we're supposed to be baptized in that same fire? If now we are the source of that fire, it's a consuming fire. What does a consuming fire do? It burns anything out that's not pure, that is not him, is not his nature. Why? Because we are the light of the world. We are meant to be that fire set ablaze, that reveals the truth, the one and true God. We are the light of the world. Which causes me to ask a question. Is the world in so much confusion because we haven't figured it out yet? We can read. Again, all creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. All creation is waiting. And it all starts with God. It all simply starts with showing up for the walk. So it's time to realign our gaze. It's time to posture ourselves in a place of encounter, of discovery, and becoming. Because we've been destined to be conformed to the image of the Son. And he said, I am the light of the world, but now you are. All creation is waiting. You know, whenever I've postured myself in a place to encounter, and encounter is a funny word because it's something that is unexpected. That's the definition of encounter. Experience is different, but you know, I've never purposely gone to spend time with God where I've never had an encounter. He always shows up. And in those times of encounter have always brought alignment to the truth of who I am. My answer for everything is to get into his presence. Oh, always. If you find yourself veering, if you find yourself confused, if you find yourself in doubt and disbelief, get into his presence. I long for a generation to encounter the truth of who the Father is. And the truth of who they are. That the things of this world will never bring fullness. Because the things of this world is not what you've been created and designed for. You were designed to be with him. How you guys doing? You doing okay? It's time to realign your gaze. Lock eyes with perfect love. let the body, let the church be what it was destined and designed to be. I just prophesy over this place that this would be a place that hopes his presence. That he is actually the centrality of everything that we do. That when people come in, they would see that these people have been with Jesus. Do you know that that qualifies you more than anything else on this planet? Let's go. I want to read this because this is kind of ties things in. Let's go to Acts 4:13. Says that the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could not see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. But what does it say? It says they took note that these men had been with Jesus. We know these guys. They're kind of dummies. How are they talking like this? And they recognize, nah, they're talking like this because they were with Jesus. So I want to tell you this morning, if you feel unqualified, it's who you're with is what qualifies you. I'm all for Bible college. I think it's amazing when you do it with him. It's not when we create doctrines that make it so we can do it on our own strength. It's with him. In John, it says that in the beginning was the Word. And it says that the Word was with God. And that word with means pros, which means face to face, so close that you're touching nose to nose, lips to lips. He was with God. And I believe we're going into a season where that's going to be the reality of our existence, is the face to face with him. Do you believe that this morning? Is that okay this morning? You guys excited for that? So, Father, I thank you that you have created us for perfect union. Father, I thank you you've created us to have the face-to-face relationship. The relationship where we can just simply go on a walk and discover who you are. And Father, I thank you in the place of discovery, we learn who we are becoming. And it's not by works, it's not by self-effort, but it's by your grace. So, Father, I just pray right now that you would put a hunger in each one here for those face-to-face. Father, that we would posture ourselves, discover who you are so we can become the reality of who you are and what we're called to be. The light of the world.